Passport B-Side 1, recorded February 10th, 2016. Meet some of the cast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Sad Pod, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. I'm your host, David McPhee, and welcome to the first in Sad Pod's B-Side series. B-Sides are podcasts that are aside from our regular schedule. They can be interviews, general geekery, or in this case, an intro to new cast members. Since it's a B-Side, hearing children in the background is possible. On today's show, well, daytime to me, which is a novelty, we're having a meet and greet. Actually, it's the first in the series of three. As I've said in the past, it's where we initiate new cast members and some older cast members and have them talk about themselves. Hopefully, it will allow you to get to know them better and enable you to make a more informed decision as to whom to send fan mail. So let me get this ball rolling and introduce my fellow co-hosts, Ben Fortune Price and Mike Alexander Ryan Simovich. Did I get that right there, Ryan?
No.
Say it again.
Mike Simonovich. Ryan Simonovich.
Got it right the second time. Hi, fellas.
Hi, hey, Dan.
Hello.
Okay. You can respond now. Actually, I've got it in brackets. Respond.
Hello.
Okay, respond. Now I've got it. If you want to know more about the cast, including photos and bios, look for the cast page at our website at sadpod.com. And since this is supposed to be the international portion of Sad Pod, which is obviously horrible because we're missing some of the international people, let me start with Ben Fortune Price from the UK. Ben, you've read the questions in advance, hopefully, and you've got some meaty details for us. Let's start with, who are you? Come on, Ben, this is your time to shine.
I'm Ben Fortune Price. I live in Clevedon with my wife and three children. I've got a 6-year-old son, a 5-year-old daughter, and a 1-year-old daughter. So I've got a nice little spread there. I've been home with all of them since around the time just before my son was about 6 months old. I started cutting back on the work I was doing. And so I've been here ever since.
And what did you do before you were? You're more than just a stay at home dad. You're a primary caregiver for your wife as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And what did you do before you actually got into this world of taking care of others?
I was doing, for the few years before my son was born, I was doing technical support, basically talking people through and training people up to use different types of technology, TVs and Blu-ray players and things like that. I talked to a lot of people through we had the big digital switch over in the UK, where everything moved from being everything coming through the aerial to everything being delivered digitally. So that was a lot of fun.
I think analog was the word that was escaping you there, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Okay. And you gave us some information about your kids. Do you want to elaborate a bit on that, mate?
Yeah. Logan's 6. He's super bright. He had his first book on Amazon, a little short story he wrote when he was 3. And he's since come up in the studio with me and done an audiobook version of that. My daughter Evie likes baking and making clothes and all sorts of things like that. And Dorothy just wants to get everywhere and crawl and basically have a lot of fun.
Okay. And what was your wife's name again, mate?
It's Natasha.
Natasha. And whereabouts do you live again?
We live in Clevedon, southwest of England, so just west of Bristol, and right on the seaside. So, 5-10 minutes walk to the beach.
Oh, excellent! That's great, man. Because I've seen British beaches; they're just absolutely awesome. Because Mike and I both live out here in Florida, and nothing that we've got compares to it. Isn't that correct, Mike?
Absolutely correct.
We don't have any of the benefits and of the rocks and the gravel that you have. Actually, what is the shape of the beaches out there?
It's just rocks, pretty much. We do have an outdoor swimming pool, but I've never seen anybody in it. We only get about, I reckon we probably get 10 sunny days a year on a good year. So,
Well, that's about 9 more than I used to get when I used to live in the Northeast.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And in fact, I think that's 9.5 more than I used to get when I lived in the Northeast. So what are your hobbies and interests there, Ben? I mean, podcasting, one of them, by apparently, or at least it's a new interest.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a little studio, and I set that up about a year or so ago. I've been looking at doing making audiobooks and voiceover work. I did a jingle recently for another podcast, comedy podcast. And a lot of the time now, because we home educate all of our kids, a lot of it is kind of keeping up with what the kids are doing and trying to stay one step ahead of them. So Logan's been doing loads of coding and things, so I'm having to learn game design alongside him at the moment.
I was going to say, with that, how do you ever find yourself just falling behind?
I suppose sometimes, yeah. But I get many more hours awake than the children do, because there's always something to do in the house, and a lot of the stuff you just can't get to when the kids are awake.
So basically you knock them out and that's your happy fun time. Do you just not sleep at all?
Well, I get to sleep. If I get to sleep about 11 and then I'm up normally, well, between 6 and 7. It depends who wakes up first. Normally it's our middle one, Evie. She's the one that likes to come down early. But any of them are guilty of that, really.
Well, I mean, I'm not there, because my daughter's far, far too young for that. But she does wake up super, super, super early. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, look, I'm going to pass this off, Ben, because we're going to actually have a little bit more of a chat amongst one another and actually ask questions. But I'm going to throw it out there to Mike, who I got his last name wrong. Mike, come on, please. Who are you?
So I'm Mike Ryan Simonovich. I'm originally from California, but now have followed my academic spouse here to Gainesville, the Berkeley of the South. It's in north central Florida, right in the middle of the state. So it's an hour drive either way out to the beach. I've been the primary carer of my almost 6-year-old little boy for his entire life. And as I said, my wife's an academic. She is a conservation biologist by training who studies disease ecology. So basically what can make you sick that we can get from animals, or what things we can give to animals to make them sick. Before,
and how old, you said your son's 6 years old?
Yeah, my son is 6 this Saturday. So I'm spending most of this week frantically running around buying groceries and baking cakes that are compliant with all the various and sundry allergies of the different kids that are going to be there and all that kind of thing.
Now, we were just talking off mic about the length of your son's name. What is your son's full name?
My son's full name is George James Alexander Priestley Ryan Simonovich, but we call him Yuri.
Wow. And where does Yuri come from? Not Yuri Geller, by any chance?
No, not Yuri Geller. Actually, it is sort of a dual tribute. My grandfather was called Georgi and changed his name to George when he moved here. And Yuri is a short form for Georgi. He's named after his great-grandfather, and also as a tribute to Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space.
Oh, well, I mean, it's still technically George, just of a different ilk, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nickname that has one letter in common with the actual name.
Well, look, I call my daughter Bean, and it's got absolutely nothing, you know, no letters in common with her name whatsoever.
Right.
Okay, and you've obviously given us some information about your wife. What is it that you did before, and what is it that you're doing now?
Well, so I studied the humanities in college, which seemed like a great idea at the time and kind of a bad idea when it came time to go and look for work. But I managed to find my way into a varied IT career that involved all sorts of network engineering and system administration and instructional technology and that sort of thing. And now I'm, as I said, I'm the primary parent, and I work on a very part-time basis as a webmaster and social media coordinator at the local university.
And how long do you actually spend at the uni?
I go in, I'm actually physically on campus for about 2 or 3 hours every Thursday afternoon, and otherwise everything's from home, and I log about 15 hours a week, maybe 20 if I'm lucky.
Okay, now I'm going to throw this out to both of you, both you and Ben. why is it that both you guys are interested, one, in podcasting and two, in this particular podcast? So let's start with you. Let's start with you, Mike.
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I find that it's a really good way to hear what other adults think is going on. Before podcasting, I listened to a lot of NPR, which is National Public Radio here in the U.S. It's the sort of talky equivalent of BBC Four, I believe. And now that podcasts are easy to listen to on my phone, I find that it's just a really good way to hear about what's going on out in the world. And as I said, hear what other adults are interested in and have going on.
So why do you want to go on the mic, Mike?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I figured I saw that this was being put together, and I thought I might as well join in to get a little bit of the sense of community with the other stay-at-home dads. Let any stay-at-home dads out there who are somehow unaware that there's, you know, Facebook groups and all that kind of thing, understand that they are not alone.
You're not alone. Now we're starting to get back into the X-Files. So I'm going to throw it out, the same question to you, Ben. Why is it that you want to be involved in podcasting? And in particular, why is it that you want to be involved in this podcast? Because let's face it, we could all podcast about a million and one different topics.
Yeah. Like Mike said, podcasting is a great way to hear adult voices. This whole social media side of being a stay-at-home dad, also being with home educating, has been really, really useful. And it's the first time I've come across something which seems like it's kind of directed straight at me, if you like. There's a lot of different podcasts out there, and I listen to tons. But, something that's interesting and that's about what we do, because, yeah, this is what we do every day.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the topics that we cover are unique to stay-at-home dads. Not all of them, of course. I mean, some of them are more generic just to dads themselves. But, I mean, one of the topics that we want to discuss is home education, and that's something that you do with your kids, right?
Yeah, we've been doing that basically since our little boy was in nursery. So
that mustn't afford you an awful lot of time to actually get out into the real world. Is that true?
Well, we go out. I mean, as a family unit, we do a lot of stuff in the real world. But as an individual, no, I do the shopping run, and that's pretty much it.
Because, I mean, both you and Mike have listened to some of the podcasts, and we were talking off, Mike, about how isolation is a killer for us all. In fact, it's the reason we all gravitate to the online world. What was your first port of call in terms of getting adult conversation online there, Ben? Because you're a member of the Stay at Home Dads UK, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I found that group, I would say probably about a month and a half ago, after being a member of lots and lots of different home ed groups in the UK and internationally. So I'd been getting that kind of social contact for a fair while, but it was really good when I found that particular group to find, hey, these guys are talking about the things that directly relate to what I do. Because I think the experience of being a stay-at-home dad can be very different to being a stay-at-home mum.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things we talked about is particular how we're distrusted by stay-at-home mums. So a lot of the groups that are set up specifically during the day for stay-at-home activities are gender-specific. So we tend to stay away from them, at least I do.
Yeah, I mean, if I take I take my daughter to go and get weighed, so we go to the health center, and you know, there's always a huge queue. And then you realize, yeah, you're in a room with 40 women and their children, and you're the only man there. And it's really odd. It's a strange environment to find yourself in.
Well, I mean, we have a social inertia that we have to overcome before we actually can have a conversation with somebody. And it's terrible when you think that one of the huge barriers is just the sexes, because as a man, if you want to speak to a woman, at least speak to a woman, not as in terms of sexuality, but in terms of speaking to another adult, you've got to get past that barrier of sexuality. You've got to first have her determine that you're no longer a threat. And that's very difficult as a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah. And I think my kids are kind of real ambassadors in that they're confident and they'll go and talk to anybody, and that gives you a little bit of an in to just have an adult conversation.
So now I'm going to throw this to Mike, because I know Mike's active online. I've for anybody who, you know, who won't know, Mike was actually referenced in a couple of the early podcasts, although he wasn't named. And I met Mike, you know, commenting on the same topics, kind of because we kind of had the same perspective of the world, we were commenting on the same topics. Now, how long have you been dealing with the online world of stay-at-home daddom, Mike?
I discovered the National Association of Stay-at-Home Dads last spring, I believe. I actually went down to, I went down to Kennedy Space Center to watch a rocket launch that wound up not happening and took the boy out of school for a day. And we were playing at the playground waiting for the rocket to go up. And there was another family right next to us and our kids were playing. And I started chatting with the dad and he said, "Oh, I'm a stay-at-home dad too. Obviously, you must know about the National Association." And so he invited me into a bunch of the Facebook groups. And so since then, it's been really nice to just to see what sort of things we all have in common, as well as what hurdles are very specifically unique to each dad, each family, each region of the world.
I'm sorry, and how long ago was that?
That was last spring.
Wow, so you really haven't been in them very long, but you're quite active in the forums, right?
Yes, I'm pretty active in the forums.
I know when we first started being in contact, and again, I've referenced it 1,000 times, it's starting to become a bit of a cliche, but there was that really large group that was started by a bunch of people from the UK, I think, and that was vibrant in terms of its craziness. And you and I were both on that, and certainly both active in its craziness. I'm not sure from a baiting perspective or just an observer perspective, but we certainly followed some of the crazy threads on there. Now, that's that one. But we're also a member of a lot of more sane forums, correct?
Yes. And in fact, I think I may still be a member of that crazy group, but I've managed to fiddle with my Facebook notification settings so that I never see any of it anymore.
Oh, really? So the pool of stay-at-home dads that you've got to listen to has been reduced to about 20?
Yeah, probably around there.
At least in that forum.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of local, have you met up with any stay-at-home dads local?
There is one guy here in town who we met on Facebook because he's in one of the same groups. And then it wound up that his kids were taking swim lessons at the swim lesson immediately before my kid was taking swim lessons. So we've chatted in person 5 or 6 times, but there's nobody else in the neighborhood or anything like that.
So what do you do in terms of your, let me say this again. What do you do for your adult fix? I mean, that's not wife related and it's not female related. I mean, what do you do for your adult fix in the real world?
Well, that's part of why I'm working at the university, is that it gets me, I'm reading academic papers and at least emailing back and forth with other adults and occasionally seeing people in person. Then also there's a brewery about a mile away from my house. And on Wednesday nights, a bunch of dads from the neighborhood all ride their bikes on down and have a couple of beers.
Oh, wow. I hope you push the bikes back though, don't you?
No, we ride our bikes slowly, and it's a pretty sleepy neighborhood. So it's
This is just for the local Gainesville police. This is Gainesville police. They do push their bikes back.
Yes,
they do understand the laws.
Of course, we push our bikes back. Yes. And then also, a lot of those same guys have kids all of the same age, and our kids play football on Sunday afternoons at the local park.
Okay, now I'm going to throw it back to you, Ben. Obviously, you said, you know, the real world, and you talked about you've retreated online for adult company. Is there any stay-at-home dad groups at all local to where you are? Is there anything that you – have you found anything recently? Is there anything that you've got upcoming that you want to go to, or is it just completely a void?
Well, there is a group, not necessarily of stay-at-home dads, but I know a lot of them do spend a lot more time at home than a lot of regular dads, which is the Bristol He-Men, which is a home education men's group in Bristol. And we meet up a couple of times a year in Bristol, all get together for a pint, that kind of thing. So there will be something like that coming up in the future.
That's rather disappointing that you actually explained what the acronym stood for. I was just hoping that it would be He-Man is in Masters of the Universe.
You can cut that out.
Yeah, that was what I was envisioning, going off and battling Skeletor and the like.
Maybe that's my 70s, 80s upbringing coming there.
Definitely.
I'm sorry. I'm sure you mentioned your age to us, Ben, and I'm sure anybody who actually gets a chance to listen to this will be saying, "What the hell is he asking for again?" But how old are you again, Ben?
37.
37, and you are in your late 30s as well, aren't you, Mike?
Yes, I'm 38.
Wow. Okay, because I feel really, really old in the forums, and I have a very, very young daughter. So
that is one surprising thing about the forums. I am amazed by how many 18 and 19 year old stay-at-home dads there are.
We were talking just off of mic there about how stay-at-home dads and what defines a stay-at-home dad, because stay-at-home dads don't necessarily fit the mold of the 50s housewife, which is really what people think. They think of the 50s housewife when they think of what a stay-at-home dad is, but the stay-at-home dad is much more varied than that. And just in the same way that the stay-at-home mum is more varied than that as well. Because right now, how much time would you say you spend during the day with your little lad, Mike?
I get about a 6-hour reprieve from the time I drop him off at kindergarten to the time I pick him up in the afternoon.
But do you drag him out for social events to go and see this and do that and advance his education?
Yeah, we go to museums. I will happily pull him out of school to go and watch a rocket go up in the air at KSC. We have two plots at our local community garden. We'll spend time out there. We play at the park, ride our bikes around the neighborhood, all that sort of thing.
Because, I mean, that's the one thing that I actually like about the way the situation is with my daughter. I mean, obviously, my daughter's quite young, and I'm trying to transition back into the workplace. But the one thing that I look forward to is, one, I'm not so jaded now because I'm not as stressed as I was when she was just an infant and I was just trying to keep her alive. But now I get the opportunity, if I want to go hiking, I get her and I can go hiking. You know, yeah. I can get her and I can actually do things that when I actually get back into the workplace, I'm just never going to get that opportunity to do. Ben and I were talking the other day because he homeschools. He basically has the opportunity to – he takes his education on the road, don't you, Ben? Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that and how you actually take your kids on field trips?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we've always liked about home education is that if you want to – we can get up in the morning and say, well, you want to learn about castles? Okay, let's jump in the car and we can go and find a castle. And we've got – this year we've got a season pass to the Science Museum in Bristol, which is – incredible and really, really hands-on. So we could go there one day a week if we want to. And we've got other bits and pieces, other groups and things that we go to. So it does mean that we can get out and about a lot more. And it does mean that, you've got the children with you the whole time from when they wake up in the morning to when they go to sleep at night.
Now, I would assume that you've probably got a membership to the National Trust. Is that correct?
That is one thing that we're sorting out later in the year. This time of year is no good kind of getting anything like that up together because the weather just isn't there to get out and about quite so much. But yeah, that's something else that we'll do later in the year.
Wow. Cause I mean, obviously you've got it pretty hard. You've got the kids the whole time and, you've also got to provide education, bring in groceries. You have some caregiving with your wife and that. I mean, that's a pretty strenuous schedule.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave an awful lot of time to get out there and meet the He-Man group and get a few bevvies in you.
Not at the moment. And because our daughter Dorothy, she's only just one, she's still breastfeeding. So we're a little bit tied in that respect. But obviously that will tail off as soon as she's ready. And then we're a little bit more free to get out and about and do a few more things.
Yeah, because, I mean, you must be loving life, Mike. I mean, you've got to the stage where you've gone past all this. You don't have to deal with breastfeeding. Your little lad can still put his pants on, tell you when he goes to the toilet, and you get all the joy of showing him all the wonders of the world. I mean, it must be absolutely awesome. Is that correct?
It's pretty fantastic. I have to say, well, I still have to carry a bag full of allergy medicine, but I no longer have to carry a diaper bag. Now that we live in Florida, I do sometimes have to put a coat on him, but it's not like when we lived in central New York and going outside was a half-hour ordeal of putting on all sorts of layers and mittens and hats and scarves and all that sort of thing. We get to have lots of great adventures. It's really great.
Yeah, if we can get everybody out of the house in 40 minutes, then that's amazing. We think, we've done really, really well with that.
One of the podcasts I actually wanted to discuss was it was like a bug out bag type of a show. When I first actually became a stay-at-home dad, I put it out on the Jack's forums. What's the minimum pack that you have? You know, what do you include in your pack? If you're just going to leave the house at a moment's notice, what do you include? And it was kind of coming from my lightweight backpacking days where, you know, you cut the tags off it and you cut your toothpaste in half and you weigh everything to, you know, the nth degree to try and get it down to the limited amount of size. And that's what I was kind of hoping in terms of feedback. I wanted to know the minimum I needed in a backpack so that I could grab the baby at a moment's notice and get out the door. And I actually want to do a show about that. but I could never really get a good answer because it really just seems that I think to some degree we overcoming that inertia to get everything together to go out the door when the child's young is just absolutely huge, absolutely massive, and it's essential for us as stay-at-home dads to not stay home. I mean, would you agree? I mean, how much would you say that you left the house when the baby was young, Mike?
All the time. So when he was born, we lived in Santa Barbara, California, which has famously fantastic weather. And so we would go for walks pretty much every day. Like you, I was a big fan of the baby backpack. And we would just go, we'd walk a mile away to the grocery store to go, you know, to buy a bottle of milk or whatever, just go and smell the flowers and have a great time. Then when he was almost two, we moved to central New York. It was a bit harder to get out when the weather was really bad because we'd have to drive and shovel snow and all that sort of thing. But that was actually when I became the full-time stay-at-home dad and stopped working out of the house. And I would, we would always go to story time at the library and always go to a music class in the afternoons. So that was guaranteed that we were out of the house twice a week. And the library was only a few blocks away, so we went there a lot anyways, made good friends with the children's librarian. And it was just a great way to see other people and see something that wasn't the house and, you know, breathe some fresh air.
With you, Ben, how often do you try and get out during the week?
Well, I mean, a lot of days we've got stuff planned. So tomorrow, for example, we've got a group, which is a kind of all day thing where there'll be 20 odd parents and probably double that amount of children. And we all get together and we'll do totally different activities every week. My daughter Evie, she started Rainbows, which is just the one down from Brownies. So she goes to that on a Tuesday. And then we can visit family and all sorts of bits and pieces like that. So we're out and about a fair bit now. It'll be a lot easier once Dorothy's a little bit bigger, because having a baby that needs a pram takes up space in the car and all of that kind of thing. So it does limit you a little bit to how much you can do.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned the Rainbow and the Brownies. Do they call it Brownies here, Mike? Do you know?
Yes, they do.
They do. So the Girl Scouts are
the
Brownies?
The junior Girl Scouts that are, I think, until 12 or 13 years old are called Brownies, and then they graduate up and become full-fledged Girl Scouts through age 18.
Are they still Girl Guides, though, in England, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I believe they're Girl Guides in the entire rest of the world. Well, they're Girl Guides in Canada, Australia, and England. And then many countries with active scouting movements have co-ed scouting, where I think they're just called scouts.
Wow. I didn't realize that they actually went co-ed in places. I mean, that's quite good. I mean, I was never in the scouts. I was in the Boys Brigade, so different again. Militaristic, I suppose.
In addition to the Girl Guides in the UK, they do have co-ed scouting as well. My sister was a scout for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's something that I'm not sure if I want to get my daughter into or not nowadays, because, you know, we've had some controversy over in the US, but I think it's something that as a kid I loved. I loved just the idea of going out and camping. And that was where I got my first introduction to camping, actually, was through the Boys Brigade. All right. Well, look, that's about 30 minutes, believe it or not. So is there any questions that the two of you would want to ask one another? Come on, I'm going to put you on the spot now. Have you got anything out there for Ben, Mike?
How on earth do you look after a wife, look after three children, and still get 7 hours of sleep every night?
Well, there's 7 hours between kind of midnight and seven, or 11 and six. But it's just a case of get up in the morning, and then it's everybody's having breakfast. I can take something up to my wife. When the baby's having a feed, then I've got time. I can do stuff with the other two. And then when they're eating their dinner, then I'm doing washing up and sorting that out. The washing machine, I don't think our washing machine has stopped turning for about 5 years. And because we went cloth nappies with all three, and that will kill washing machines.
Yes.
It's effectively a perpetual motion machine once you actually start to have kids, isn't it? Your life must be regimented to the minute, though.
Pretty much. I can be flexible when I want to. If we decide, right, we're going to do something now, then nothing else matters. Everything else will get done once everybody else is asleep. That's the way that I think of it. It doesn't matter what the house looks like before bedtime, because I know that that's my time to then pile in and, you know, clear everything away and sort everything out. And it means that I end up eating about 10 half past every night, because I always feed myself last. But yeah, you can, as long as you don't sweat the small stuff, I suppose, you can be a little bit flexible.
Well, you've got a job to do. You've got to do it. No one else is going to do it, mate.
Exactly, I mean, that's really the
mantra, I think, for most stay-at-home dads. Some of us don't have it quite as difficultly as you do, though, mate. Although we do have a friend on the podcast, Maddie McGraw, and he's just started homeschooling. So I'm sure the two of you would actually have a little bit to talk about.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure he'll love it. There's nothing like there's something really good when, like, my little boy the other morning, he woke me up and it was about six-ish. Dad, he said, I've got to do some coding. I've been thinking about it all night. I need to do some coding. So I said, right, okay, yeah. So we get the Raspberry Pi out and set it all up, and he'll sit there and he'll be programming for 2 hours before breakfast. And you think, yeah, that's good. You can't get that in a private school. You can't get that anywhere else other than kind of doing it yourself.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is
so much fun.
I'm going to throw the same back. Now, you might be wondering why it is that we have Mike on an international show, and that's because Mike, I think, as he said earlier, his wife is originally from the UK. But Ben, other than maybe asking where his wife is from in the UK, do you have any questions out there for Mike?
Mike, this yes. The crazy UK group that you were talking about, which one's that?
I think we were talking about a crazy, mostly US group.
Oh, right.
And, honestly,
they started as UK. They were UK founders. But the crazy came from the US.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha. We had an amazing thread on the UK Stay at Home Dads last night, where a guy had arranged a play date with a friend of his and her children, and she mentioned during the play date that he was one of two people she was willing to cheat on her husband with, and, you know, would he be interested?
Whoa.
Yeah.
We don't have anything like that.
And he was just like, what do I do with this?
Wow. So. Actually, now that we're going to throw it out before we actually end the podcast. Mike, since we've found out what the craziest thing Ben's seen on the forums is, what's the craziest thing you think you've seen on the forums? Can you think of anything specific, Fred, that you just thought yourself?
I believe that the meme that generated the most fighting that I saw was a picture of a dad who was standing at a stove cooking dinner, and he had about five pistols strapped to his hip, and there was some joke about, can't wait for my daughter's first boyfriend to come over, or something like that.
I think that's probably where I would go as well. I don't know if you frequent any of the US forums at all, Ben, and we're probably going to lose a bunch of dads over this if I don't cut it out and post. But there is a lot of the first thread that I saw that blew up that absolutely went berserk was somebody posted a picture of their handgun and said, who has concealed carry? Now, and again, I don't want to – I know a lot of stay-at-home dads, you know, America has a deep love of the guns and all the rest of it. But I remember at the time questioning, even if you do love the Second Amendment in that way, I did question the sanity of posting something that you own on a place where everybody knows your name and where you live. And that was probably the one that I thought that was probably the most questionable, although I have seen other questionable comments as well.
I've got a rule that I'll never post anything negative online. It's just not worth it.
I just said that, and of course, and I've just spent the last 5 minutes posting negative audio. But again, there's a lot of really good dads as well, and there's a lot of some of the more positive comments. I mean, I think we probably should end it with a positive comment, don't you, Mike?
Absolutely.
What's the most positive thing that you've seen in the forums?
I have seen many examples of guys who are suffering from PTSD or are on the cusp of a divorce or in the midst of a divorce, come forward with a heart-wrenching emotional post talking about their troubles and how they feel like they're all alone. And there, within minutes, there are 30 or 40 guys who've all posted just supportive comments, advice, people asking, hey, give me your phone number, I'm going to give you a call. And it's great to think that a lot of these guys might be living in small towns, might not know anyone who, any other man who's taking an active role in their parent and their child's upbringing, and they can find a community online. They can get help. I think it's great.
I agree. I've come across that as well. I've come across the guys who, particularly the guys who are struggling with their role in their wife, and their wife might be struggling with the role as well. They go to the forums for help, and there's a lot of support. There's a lot of, I don't know you, but, you know, let me reach out to you. Let me help. And the other one as well is I came across, I remember there was a fellow whose child was going through some serious, serious medical problems, was actually in emergency at the time. And there was a lot of love and care that went out to him at the time when he was, you know, basically needing it the most. I mean, it's a strange thing to want to post on Facebook, but sometimes you just need those well wishes. And what about you, Ben? What would you say the most positive thing is you've seen in the forums?
Just dads pulling together from the big stuff like that, from, you know, people going through divorces, people going through problems with their children, to tiny little things. I saw a guy who posted the other night, I've got an unexpected night off without the kids. You know, anybody want to do anything? And within 3 or 4 minutes, there were a few people saying, yeah, right, come round to mine. Let's go. We'll go out. We'll go and have a beer. We, you know, I can arrange childcare. We can go and do something. And yeah, it's just people really do pull together.
Hey, it's amazing. It's amazing what stay-at-home dadhood will do to you to actually build new friendships.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is all that we have for tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Ben Fortune Price and Mike Alexander Simonovich.
Close.
I got it wrong again.
You got the last part right. It's Mike Ryan Simonovich.
Simonovich? All right. I'm just going to call you Ryan.
That's fine. Everyone else does.
Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Please follow us on Twitter @SadPod, like our Facebook page, and subscribe via iTunes. And don't forget to give us a gushing review. Special thanks to Micah and me for the use of excellent Super Daddy Fun Day. Everybody have a Super Daddy Fun Day. It's just another ordinary, typical day. My baby sister down to get in the way. I'm ready for another.